just going to see what the link is and where to post it and make sure it's recording. So we're just going to have a chit chat, but not too much exciting stuff. And James is just going to tell me, because he is the best producer in the business. Let me tell you that, James, Mr.
Literally.
James Alexander. And we're actually going to be live streaming. That's pretty cool, isn't it, Tom?
Very. On what platforms?
YouTube at the moment, which will be saved there, and then we can sort of post after that. I assume you're at home?
Yes.
No more fighting the... you were at home. You've been at home for a while, haven't you?
Last Monday, we started homeworking, yeah.
Begs the question why we ever needed an office in the first place.
Well, you and me both, right? I'm trying desperately to get out of my my obligations at the moment with my service provider. And interestingly, I think I've been more connected with my staff over the last week than I would have been if I was in the office.
I've sent you guys the link. You are live.
How
currently
did you send it?
It's in the Skype chat.
Oh, I didn't mean to share my screen. How do I cancel that?
Can you see it in the chat, in the message chat?
I can, yeah. I'm not sure what to do with it from there, though.
Well, just post it on wherever you want to share it.
I need it in my phone.
Okay, I'll WhatsApp it to you. Just remember, don't talk about direct contacts and emails and things like that unless you'd be happy to give it out.
What, you mean don't give my email address?
Well, or whoever's. Like, if you're talking to people, just be conscious of the fact that you are live and that, you know, not everyone wants to broadcast their emails.
Yeah. Can you... Am I out of interest? Am I in sync or am I out of sync?
No, you're pretty good.
Because you're terrible, James. Tom? Say something, Thomas.
You look... Duncan, you look as if the camera hasn't got you square in the video picture, if that makes sense. Yeah, like your head's gone now, but it may be because how my camera's chopping up the screen. I've got two screens.
Well, I can show you on the live feed on YouTube. You guys are both looking fabulous.
Okay.
Right. In that case, if we look fabulous, then we must be fabulous. So we're live. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to post this. Apologies, everybody, if anybody is actually watching, which I find highly impossible on the basis it's a new channel with no subscribers or followers or anything. But I'm going to just take this link, which has been posted twice to me. Oh, just once.
Make sure it's the second one.
The second one. I'm just going to make sure that works. And while I'm at it, I will just say this is actually day one of Live at Lunchtime. Tom Wilkinson has agreed to join me, which is very brave, but I wouldn't expect any less from Mr. Wilco. I'm going to quickly just put this on my socials and then I'm going to have a chat with Tom, see what's what. Living in isolation. Well, you're not isolated. You've got a family with you.
I wish I could isolate.
No, that's good news or bad news. Oh, I don't know why this isn't working. It's a bit annoying, but it's worth spending another minute on. It would be easier if you had access to the DefenderCast, James.
What do you mean, the DefenderCast what? Insta?
Insta, LinkedIn, and everything.
Well, that's an unfair conversation.
Is it because you told me to go... That's normally what a producer normally does, isn't it, Tom?
What's the YouTube channel called?
It's called DefenderCast. I'm going to send this link to you. And this is the live stream.
Copy. We probably need to slicken this part of the operation up a bit.
Do you think? something to do with me not being able to. Ah, got ya. So I think we should just do this. It's a bit, we haven't told. So we're going to get a different live stream thing every time.
James?
We can't just say we'll be live.
Well, yeah, maybe you can. I don't know. Once you've got a channel following, it's different because you've got audience. Right now, there's no one looking.
All right. Well, that's going to be the case for a few days. So what we're going to do is we're going to crack on. I'm just going to put this.
I've just shared it on LaunchPod Facebook. Who's watching? YouTube open?
Tom, are you watching us?
Yeah, do you know what? I should put it on mute. There we go.
Right. Are you ready?
Always.
James, are you ready?
Yeah, man. Let's do this. Hold on. Let's just help you out for a second. I've just tagged you on a post on Facebook. Share that.
Genius. Tom, this is this right here is why he's the producer of DefenderCast and me and you aren't producers of anything. Right, what?
Got it?
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm doing live with Tom. Right, everyone ready? If you've been watching this long enough now, let's do this. We are going live at lunchtime from now until the world starts to turn again. I am joined by a very, very handsome, very good friend of mine.
We forgot
very similar taste. Oh, what now? Welcome. Who right. could be at the
Hang
door?
On. Let's We've try had our one. Practice. This was the first ever one. Now I'm going to roll the credits and we know what happens next.
Okay.
Recording.
It's you.
Me? Ready to go. Welcome to DefenderCast. We are live at lunchtime for the very, very first time. My special thanks and hats off goes to Mr. James Alexander for making this crazy, questionable potential of going live at lunchtime every day at 12:30 possible. We're running late. I'm not going to blame James for that. I am going to blame someone else, though, and that person is Thomas Wilkinson. welcome, Tom. Thank you very much for joining me. Had some Skype technical issues. How difficult was it for you to actually log into this and start live streaming? That of interest.
I'm not a Skype user, but I was told when I tried to set up an account, I already had an account, so I must have had an account from a long time ago, but...
In general, if someone else wants to come on here and talk live at lunchtime, is it a complicated process or?
No, not at all. My 3-year-old could do it.
Amazing. Your 3-year-old could do it, but you couldn't. Good to know. So, Tom, I think, look, I don't know really where I'm going with this right now, except that I want to, for me personally, I want to take a couple of hours out of my day and try and be a little bit structured. My phone's ringing and try and be a little bit structured, and basically between the hours of 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock I'm going to be focusing on this podcast live at lunchtime, and I want to talk to people about what on earth is going on out there and how it's affecting them, and using the kind of business, property and positive thinking vibe. I think we've definitely got some business and positive thinking to talk about, and you and I have spoken about property before. And I think it's interesting for me to just stay on subject. So shall we have, how are you doing working from home? How are you doing?
Okay. It's hard, no doubt. I've spent my entire career commuting into the city, and I'm a salesman at heart, right? So I thrive off the buzz of an office, the deal-focused environment that we work in, and as a business owner and having, you know, 25 people in my business, I thrive off other people's energy, right? So it's been challenging. We moved to working from home last Monday, so we're a week in. It's early days, but it's tough. It's very tough.
You said something that I found really interesting about communicating. You've been you might have been actually communicating better with your staff for those 25 people. Is that really the case? And how's it working?
100%. There are challenges, right, working from home, not having that human interaction. But when I go into my office, it's very easy for me to sit at my desk, plow through my work. Yes, I interact with my team, but I made a conscious effort when we moved everyone to work from home that communication would be so important. So every morning we have a Zoom call, and at 8:30 I kick off the day with a virtual meeting. We don't do that every day in the office. And at the end of the day, we get together and I wrap up at the end of the day and we talk about the day that we've had.
So every one of the 25 people on that... And I guess it takes a while to get through. Do you do like a little stand up? Does everyone say something, or is it just you addressing the team and off you go?
No, it's quite interactive. I'll have an agenda and I'll have some framework to what I'm talking about. But I want people to contribute. I want people to talk to me about their days. There'll be questions that I need to pose to people. There'll be questions that I will field, and people want to know, like, what should I be doing? You know, we've got a mix of abilities and experiences within my business. I've got people who are old hats and veterans in the recruitment game, and I've got people who joined us last year as graduates. So everyone needs different input from me, and we kind of run through it all together.
Is a lot of it about motivating your team now and kind of leading from the front? Because I definitely feel the pressure right now of which I love and I'm grateful for, but I definitely feel like it's my responsibility to say, good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well, which I actually haven't done today for the first time. I just woke up in a bit of a, I guess like a lot of people just woke up thinking, what the fuck am I actually allowed to leave my house right now? Where am I going? When am I going to see my kids? Like, what have I got in the fridge and how am I going to eat? And like, just feels eerie. Feels weird. So is it motivation? Is that what you're doing right now?
Trying to. I think, look, I'm fortunate. I've got a very sophisticated workforce. They're all intelligent people. And I think everyone is plugged into the fact that globally these are unprecedented times. And I think you need to be realistic at the moment and level everyone to where we are. If I jumped on a call every day and said, you know, we're going to have a great day, we're going to smash loads of deals today, we're going to continue business as usual, I would be kidding myself.
I actually mean like just motivation, not even, you're a sales guy, you said at the beginning and you'll say at the end, because so what you're thinking is have a good day means smash out loads of deals. What I'm thinking is don't get depressed, don't turn off your laptop, don't sit on the couch, don't eat pizza. You know, take a walk, get some fresh air, tell someone you love them. Like, that's kind of what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, mental ill health is something that our business has looked at a lot recently, as have our clients. So, you know, making sure that people are doing okay and checking in with them is front and center. I went for a run last Monday for the first time in 3 years, and I took a picture as I was running and sent it on my work WhatsApp group and was like, If an overweight guy like me can do it, you can all do it. So I'm encouraging them to get out at the moment. You know, yeah. We're allowed to go out for one bit of exercise a day. Let's do it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm doing this thing. I'm the only one leading on it at the moment, but rate my plate every lunchtime. I take a picture of what I've prepared and send it on the group.
Yeah.
So things like that, I think, are a good distraction for people at the moment.
Yeah, look, I think one thing I'm feeling is that I am normally on my feet all day, every day. I'm out and about. I go from one meeting to the next, whether they're in my office and I'm bouncing between people's desks, or I'm on the train or in my car, you know, because we've talked about it. I'm up super early. I get up at 5 a.m. and sometimes I don't stop till 10 p.m. and I don't come in or out of my flat between the hours of 5 a.m. and 10 p.m. Now I'm sitting at this desk, which is my office, my home, my podcast studio, my creche, learning center, and my doggy daycare, and it's all just here right now, sitting in this spot. So I feel actually like I've got so much more time. Like, it's just hours and hours and hours a day of time that would otherwise have been lost. I just started.
Yeah, and for me, as a father with two young girls here, you know, the big positive for me is I spent more time with them, as I know you've got two boys, right? And
yeah, not with me right now at the moment, but yeah.
Having more family time is a definite perk and benefit of where we are right now. And I've enjoyed doing bedtime. You know, I rarely get to do bedtime during the working week, so that's been a massive bonus for me.
Amazing. And there must be some positives in all of this. I mean, that, like, I just can't buy, like, the negatives we know, and I just want to bash through it, and I want to kind of find the positives. And I've probably spoken to my mum more or as much, just because I want to FaceTime her and I want to see her and tell her I love her and everything. And you know, my kids, I do every day anyway, but, you know, it's hard to stay connected. And that's just interesting. I mean, if you'd have said to everybody, if you stay in your house, every single person in the country stays in their house for 3 weeks, we could solve world poverty. We'd be like, that's never going to happen. James, I feel like you've got something to add.
No, I was just going to say, check your Instagram, because I've set your stories live so you can share it with people.
Oh, thanks. What do I do? Oh, I just share them.
I've tagged you in a load of stuff. I'm listening on two ears with the delay, so it's a little complicated. No one can even see me. They don't even know I exist. Hi, everyone.
Hi, James. Hi.
I'm the one that's sitting here off to the side. Got that story, Duncan? You can share it?
No, sure. I got distracted. I was trying to...
This is really confusing, because this is the live stream and this is the conversation. Anyway.
But it doesn't have the link on there. Or the link
it's
where?
Link in my bio.
Does it say that? Oh, yeah, me.
I don't know where you want to go with this, DK, but is it worth giving some backdrop to your listeners that I'm not a property guy, real estate guy, and what I do, and when I first saw
speaking your mind
starting to bite? So I'm a recruiter. I've been a headhunter my entire working career. I set up my own business in 2010. We're called Wilkinson Partners. We have a number of points of difference. I think a lot of recruitment firms scream and shout about why they're unique or why they're market leaders. Look, we all do the same thing, right? I haven't reinvented the wheel in terms of how we operate. But two major points of difference for our business, I think, over the last decade has been about 50% of our revenue comes from outside of the UK, which is quite unusual. Mainland China and the US have been two key markets for us. And our client base is very, very, very small.
Yeah.
I won't bore you with everything we do, but in simple terms, we work across the professional services market. So that's accounting firms and law firms.
So your clients ask you to hire people when they need more staff.
Yeah.
And
the professional services, we do a lot of work in private equity, and we help a lot of private equity funds, portfolio companies.
And where are you based? Because the plan is that obviously we're communicating via Skype, so you could be anywhere in the world right now. You're not that far away from me, but you're not sitting next to me. Where are you based? Where's home? Where's the office?
Well, just outside a village called Welling, so North Hertfordshire.
Okay. And what I was going to say is, out of 1 to 10, how big an impact has this had on your business, the coronavirus, so far?
15.
And what do you imagine? Do you imagine a time right now where you return to normality, or is that feeling starting to fade a little bit?
No, look, we will get out of this. There will be a period, I'm sure, let's hope, in the not too distant future, where the government start to say to us, we're on top of this, things are improving. I think what we step into when the virus has got under control is the unknown, right? Who knows where we will be? Yeah, and I don't know where you want to go into this conversation, but I have so many thoughts and I think about this a lot, right? We've got the government spending at unprecedented levels. They're not buying assets, historically. I mean,
they're just spending money.
They're payrolling people's employees when they're furloughed. It's interesting times. When you buy an asset, you renationalize a bank, there is an upside swing on that when the market improves. There's no upside swing when you pay someone's payroll, right? So I think, the implications of that, I think the political landscape is going to be interesting to watch over the next, couple of years. There's a lot of countries that I think are going to take a view and review what they've done over this period of time. But for me and my business, if we were to come back to that,
it doesn't have to be about your business. I'm interested to know, you said I've got a lot of things on your mind, and like the political landscape, and like one thing for me before we go back to business is what normal looks like, and what normal looks like now is certainly not what normal looked like 6 weeks ago.
And no.
What normal will look like in 6 weeks, in my view right now, will maybe resemble a little bit more what normal is now rather than what normal was 6 weeks ago, if any of that makes sense. Basically, what I'm saying is people adjust very quickly. People like previously in one of my businesses, I would have said we in order to hire more people, we need more space. And now I know that's just not true. In fact, it's utter rubbish. The last thing we need is more space. What we need is good people who can buy into this communicate way of communicating, and there is absolutely no way that I'm not going to know that moving forward, because that office that was pivotal and central to our business now isn't open anymore. We're just paying rent, wasting money on rent and rates, well, not rates at the moment, but desks and chairs and TV screens and just things that we could actually cope without if we had to.
That's the game changer, and that's where I think the commercial property market is going to be impacted. The collateral damage that I think we will see for landlords is going to be quite profound. And I know I'm not alone in my thought process. I have a very expensive office space in the City of London, and I've gone through this first week and gone, I can still do business with all of my people working from home. I've been forced into this position. As a business owner, you're slightly paranoid. Are people going to do the right thing? Are people going to stay focused? And I'm immensely proud of what my business has done over the last week. I cannot fault them.
Yeah, if anything,
probably utilization has gone up. People have been putting more in. We won't see the same return on investment right now because the market's not there. But in a good market, we could have had a really, really productive week last week doing more.
Yeah. No, I definitely buy that. I definitely see that. So what else do you want to talk about?
So we saw the fallout from COVID-19 in January. My business was impacted in January.
Because of your business relationship with China?
Yes.
So you're hiring people for big top accountancy firms who have offices in London, offices in China. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And they just said, something funny is going on. We're out of the game.
Yeah, this is a double-edged sword in our business. We hire equity partners for big four firms and law firms. The average salary of an equity partner in a firm is about 800,000 sterling. These guys get paid well. The recruitment process from beginning to end typically takes anywhere from 6 months to 2 years was my longest.
Wow.
So we don't do deals every week. We're out, as I would call it, shooting elephants, right? Big deals, the fees are substantial, but there's a lot of risk associated, right? Because someone once said to me, I'd much rather...
It's illegal to shoot elephants.
It won't have...
go on.
Some recruiters take the view, I'd much rather make £1 million out of, 50 hires where, we'll make £1 million of revenue out of, maybe five hires.
Yeah.
So one falls out of bed, the impact of that is quite profound. But we had a candidate in Beijing get an offer to join a big four firm as an equity partner in January. Board approval went through. He got his offer that same week. They pulled the handbrake up on hiring, and the hire got shelved. Will it come back? I don't know. But that was a substantial project for us that we'd invested over a year in. We got to the completion. We get paid when a candidate signs their contract and accepts a job. So, you know, that was, for me, was the marker line in the sand. That was back in January. And there was part of me that was like, this is not good. And you, back then,
I think we spoke, didn't we, not long after that. But I think it's just 2020. It's just the minute 2020 arrived, something that we was that whole positive energy about is going to be the start of a new decade, and look at all we've achieved before, and look how fast technology is moving. We're going to be racing ahead, and then it's like, boom, welcome to 2020. Please get inside your house. Please do not open your doors or windows. Your kids will no longer be going to school. Everything is down to you. It's like, oh,
it's crazy. And then wind the clock on to Feb, big institutional client of ours in Hong Kong owed us some money. The invoice became due. We didn't receive the funds. We got in touch. And certain practical things I've seen probably ahead of other businesses, and this will come to bite in the UK, I'm sure. Their accounts payable team weren't working in the office for this client of ours, who are a big global multinational. For them to pay us, their accounts payable team needed to be in the office because they don't have the infrastructure to do these payments from home. We haven't been paid. So that's an interesting dynamic. You know, you can put people out to work from home. Most people can work from home, but there are certain things like payments. You know, I question if a lot of businesses in Europe, the UK, and the US are set up to make payments to people from home.
Yeah, it's interesting because there is obviously online banking, but a lot of the sort of more complex banking systems, you need a fob or a card or a card reader or a thing, and it needs to be, you have to have some software downloaded onto your machine. I can see that being an issue, to be honest. I mean, there are so many things, like I said, the kind of norm of, what about people still traveling on the trains? I know you had some views on, like, what's your stance on going shopping right now? And how are you?
Well, we need to go and do a shop.
I don't mean car shopping, because I know you and I have shared that illness for some time.
Yeah, I've got a bad illness there. I think my wife would agree with you on that one. I think, look, this is where it's beyond what you would ever think we would be doing in our lifetimes. But I need to go shopping today. I suffer from asthma, so I'm in the at risk category. I don't have chronic asthma. All asthma, I think, is chronic. I don't have severe asthma; it's mild. But I need to go shopping, and I'm like, well, I've never ever been apprehensive going to Sainsbury's to buy my groceries.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I need to stay away from people. Will there be the right produce that I need to buy for my family? And how do I go about doing that? This is the new norm for the time being.
You have to brace yourself and to go out into the outside world that is Sainsbury's. And I get it. You'll be fine, mate.
There's a secondary market behind. The supermarkets can't keep up with demand. Their delivery drivers are...
I feel a business opportunity coming along.
If you're up for it and you put around your local community... Now, there is this piece around, should people be profiteering from where we are right now? But if there's a legitimate opportunity in a marketplace for someone to say, if you give me a tenner, I'll go and get your groceries for you. Give me a list. Yeah. Why not?
We did say something, Boris, about using those food delivery services, and I'm not quite sure what he meant by that yet, because I'm not sure who's going to be out cycling on their Uber bicycles. Or James, what do you think?
Well, I'm not convinced entirely that anyone has the infrastructure set up to deal with this stuff with the speed at which it needs to be dealt with. I think that's amplified way up the chain, as you said, when it comes to supply of supermarkets and so on. But even the smaller restaurants are closed now. And the problem is preparation, and how do you get enough people in to produce the food to dispatch it in the first place. It's not like they have ATM kiosk style windows to be able to deliver from restaurant out to rider. And presumably the profiteering side of it, where's the line? How much does this service cost? Like, how many people do you want to employ on mopeds flying around with food on their back before they start profiteering, before £2 becomes £3, becomes £5, becomes, you know, demand. Yeah. Demand isn't necessarily going to lead
or
to...
Or if you're allowed to go to the shops.
Yeah, that's it. And I don't think many places are set up to deal with it properly. And a lot of them institutionally are going to struggle to shift quickly. Maybe the smaller establishments might have a chance because they can go, do you know what? From now, we're doing this. We've seen that in events with caterers who overnight have turned into food delivery businesses. All of them. I mean, with success as well. They're delivering meals done and ready. But not every industry can turn that quickly. And the supply chain issue has so many components that could destroy it, whether that be fuel shortages or driver shortages or anything.
I think we just don't know, do we? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just don't know what next week's going to look like right now. And, yeah, there's a few interesting points. How are you going to get food to the door? I mean, I don't know, because I'm kind of loath to switch the news on and see which supermarket's having their doors kicked in right now, or conversely, whether it is literally like ghost town outside. I can still hear in my back garden, I can hear some saws going off, and it sounds like some building work, but it's definitely a kind of eerie silence right now.
You were saying you were dealing with Asia in January. Did you have any indication at all that the severity at that point was where we are now? Did you think, you know, this is coming? Were you given any foresight on that basis, or was it isolated to the point where you thought this is a far continent problem?
I think I probably buried my head in the sand a little bit. I thought, you know what, let's just hope mainland China deal with the problem and get it dealt with, which I actually think they have done. I've since had a conversation with a very senior client of mine last week, and things are improving there. You just see that on the news. But he went back to work last week. The roads were busy with traffic again, and they're trying to normalize things. But they have distinct challenges. They have a big migrant workforce who fill the factories in the main. Yes, there's a lot of Chinese nationals who work in these factories. But when things really started to bite end of December, early January, a lot of people who weren't Chinese nationals left. So they're starting their factories back up again, but they don't have the migrant workforce. They haven't returned yet. Some of them may not. Some of them may have chosen to say, "Look, I'm out. I'm not coming back. I'm living elsewhere now." So they're going to have challenges. But I think when it really started to rear its head, no one really knew what was going on. Mm.
Now, where we're all fully in the picture.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
So as it moved across Europe, presumably with what you do, you must have, I'm not saying seen it coming, as you said, we all hid our head in the sand a bit, but you must have got that impression across the business that it was coming towards us.
100%, because our client base is so globally connected. They all have, if they're US headquartered businesses, they've got branches, offices in mainland China, Asia. So we were pretty well plugged in, and we were talking to them. We had candidates who were telling us what was going on. But I deal in people, right? And I'm not selling widgets, for example, where a widget doesn't make a decision on whether it does or doesn't want to be sold. And I don't want to commoditize what I do. But, I may have client demand at the moment, but if my candidates want to stay put because they're shutting down the hatches and don't want to look at opportunities in the market, I, one, need to respect that, but the implications of that from what I do is profound. So I'm dealing with so many moving parts, and in some cases, my candidate population are nervous. Some people are a bit more open to hearing from us, but in the main, I think confidence has just eroded from my marketplace, and people don't really want to be looking at moving jobs right now, and I respect that, and I understand that. I've just got to hope that confidence comes back quickly when when the market starts to pick up.
Do you think we talk about when the market starts to pick up? Like, what do you think that looks like? Because as we keep saying, we're in completely unprecedented times. There is this whole holistic attitude where people are sort of saying, maybe people are going to reevaluate life and what they do and how they do. And I mean that in business as well, because, you know, lots of businesses already are going, hang on, we can still operate. Like, we're still doing this, and we're looking at all of the running costs that we're currently running with, and how necessary are they? How much of this stuff is...
Where have you gone?
Oh, am I not here? Everyone's still
Tom?
Here?
Everyone's
yeah.
Here? Come.
How many businesses are going to rescale and refocus what they're doing now? And as such, I mean, I appreciate in your specific vertical, that might not be the case. But nonetheless, the industry in which you operate might change, purely how it's done. I mean, do you do a lot of video conferencing, presumably, already, with having a global supply base?
We haven't historically. If we're relocating someone from one jurisdiction to another, which we do a lot of, we move a lot of people around Asia, across Europe. So, yes, the starting point might be a telephone or a video call, but historically, no. But that's front and centre. We cannot do what we do now without the use of video conferencing facilities. So it's become, that infrastructure has become front and center for so many businesses to keep going. I think for me, there is no doubt a knee-jerk reaction from businesses. As soon as visibility drops, as soon as people don't have certainty, and as soon as something as bad as this sort of impacts businesses, the handbrake comes up. And for me, the knee-jerk reaction in my game was, we're not growing right now. We're not going to add headcount to our business. So everything stops. For me, when people start to normalize this and go, we are where we are, we've got one of two things. We can stop doing stuff, but that's going to impact us. Or we can continue, and we can continue to try and build our business. We can continue to try and enter into new markets, and we can continue to talk to candidates. Because I major on any business, doesn't matter what you do, is only ever as good as the people who work in it. Mm. So I'm obviously going to be flying that flag and banging the drum to say, well, continue to talk to candidates, build relationships with them. You don't have to hire them today, but you could hire them in 6 months' time. So I think things will loosen up in the coming weeks when people go, well, we are where we are. We carry on. I think as a human race, we're very resilient to that type of change. You know, we can adapt very, very quickly.
Mm. Yeah, well, let's hope so.
I mean, but here's one for you. Facebook, I got permission from them to say this. Facebook are a client of ours. We are incredibly fortunate to work with them. They work with a very small group of headhunters and recruiters. Zuckerberg has just said to everyone, payroll this month, everyone in this company is getting $1,000 bonus, right? That's to try and help people out a bit more. Anyone who is due to join the business, I think it goes back to the last previous 2 weeks and probably going forward until things normalize. They're going to continue to onboard them. They're going to work from home.
Do you think they're one of the rare winners in this, or who do you think are the winners and losers? Talk to me a bit about, or you can finish about Facebook, so I interrupted you, but which businesses and sectors win and which are utterly fucked?
So, the supermarkets are winning. Their tills are ringing. My brother-in-law runs an FX brokerage. Yeah. Employing a lot of people in London. He had his best ever a week last week, and I think they made over
foreign exchange.
A lot of money last week.
Foreign exchange company dealing with companies or individuals or...
Both institutions, individuals, and a lot of people are trying to hedge themselves out of positions. You know, the
I think
UK
stockbrokers will have it away over the next couple of years or a couple of months, or traders or brokers or what is that? It's looking at the FTSE. I mean, I actually haven't looked for have a little look now. I don't know where the FTSE is at today.
More interestingly, on the spread betting platforms, more people are long the FTSE 100 now than they are short. So I think people have gone, actually, it might drop a bit more, but the medium term now is people are long on the market.
Actually bounced a little bit today for the first time. FTSE is at 5,248, spot 84. It dipped below 5,000. So anybody who watches the stock market, and one of the markers I really watch is the FTSE. I mean, we had tumbled back to levels that I can't actually remember ever seeing before, from when I first started looking at the market. And now there's some green for the first time. Maybe lockdown has been anticipated in pricing before now, and therefore it's not as big a shock as it was that lockdown was coming and we didn't know when it was going to happen. I mean, the biggest shock to me, the biggest single shock to me right now is the thought that I'm not even halfway through 30 days yet. That just shocks me. JJ's, I'm recording a podcast. I'm going to call you as soon as I'm done. Okay, I love you. Get your head in the books. Love you. Call you in a minute. Sorry, guys. 30 fucking days. 30 days. Stay in your house for 30 days. It's like a fucking horror movie. Right. I live my life as no one tells me what to do. No one ever tells me what to do. Oh, yeah. Looks like they do. Looks Duncan, like you're actually not allowed out.
We were having this conversation the other day. Are you going to do as you're told yet?
Look, I think there's a lot of things there's a lot of things that I have to do. And first and foremost, I've got two kids. They don't live in my house, or they live in my house half the time, and they live with their mothers half the time. Or what I would say half the time is not me trying to be clever, but every single week for more than one or two nights, at least one or two nights, both boys live in this house. This is their home, as much as their other homes are their homes, and they are going to continue living between both of their homes because that's where they live. And the government's not going to just tell my kids where they have to live now because of social interaction and people's inability to keep to it. And they'll see me as their father, and they'll see their mother, and they'll sleep in both their homes. And as far as I'm concerned, that's it. And I'm not willing to waver in any way, shape or form, or for anybody to interpret the rules in any different way, except that my kids are allowed to go to their own homes. You're allowed to go out and go shopping. You're allowed to go from one of your homes to the other. And that's just how I see it. So was that the question?
Yeah, that'll do that.
Yeah. And I think, look, single dads or single mums or whoever it may be, this podcast is not just for me to talk to business people from the city, although it's incredibly interesting for me to hear Tom's story right now. I also do want to talk to single mums and single dads and anyone, you know, it's hard enough talking. Tom's got his own challenges, got a couple of young kids at home, and you know, the balance of wanting to see them, put them to bed, but also needing to make a few phone calls, otherwise not knowing how you're going to pay the bills in a few months or years. I think this is a serious issue right now, but you know, these are all very new. I appreciate that there is nobody out there who knows any more about this stuff than I do. Even the people who are writing the rules right now. And I just find it difficult to cope with being told what to do. But I will try to do my best bit to protect humanity and protect society without it meaning that there is an outside chance that I could bow to misinterpretation, be told I can't see my kids for 30 days, and then find that actually 30 days becomes 60 days, and it's just not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. That's not how I understand it, and I will not accept it.
My little one's kicking off outside my door. I should bring her on. Ask her what a 3-year-old thinks of it.
Bring her on.
How's your homeschooling going?
I'm lucky that neither of mine are at school yet, so we're
so you could justify iPads.
Yeah, 100% right. Netflix is on. She loves Barbie. She's Barbie obsessed, and we've got Barbie on in the background, right?
Actually,
and
Disney Plus is supposed to be launched today.
What, sorry?
Disney Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Obviously, what, I signed time to up for a full 12 months. Huh?
Couldn't be better. could not be better.
The one thing, though, to your point, Duncan, where you're saying, you know, you won't be locked down for a period of time. The one thing, and there's a lot that we don't know right now. The one thing that we all should be confident in is things will improve. Things will get better.
Yeah, I mean, I had been feeling that, but I think I had actually been feeling that. And then the news just got worse and worse and worse. Look, I'm very positive and I believe it will get better. In fact, I believe it will get better. And I believe that I've got an opportunity to take some time out, do something I enjoy. I'm trying to look at the positives. I've enjoyed podcasts. Now I can do it every single day and push myself to the limit. And I will see my kids and I'll speak to them every day. Being healthy. Why are you pulling that face, James?
Every day. Live at when?
12:30 till 2.
Thank you. Got there in the end. We will be live at lunchtime. Exactly. We're live at lunchtime. Winners and losers. Go on, let's do that. Oh, my mum's calling now. I'm going to answer to her. Mother, I'll call you back. On the phone. Have you? Winners and
well,
losers.
You know what I wanted to bring on? And I got quite upset and emotional at the weekend, and I listened to a intensive care doctor, nurse, phone into LBC radio station. And I'm sure this has done the rounds. I think Piers Morgan posted it on his Twitter feed. I can't speak for everyone. I'll speak for myself here because some people go, well, I don't take it for granted. I have taken the NHS for granted in some cases. I think it's there and you know it's there and it's a safety net when you become gravely ill or you have a problem that you need addressing from a health point of view. But what those guys and girls are doing on the front line is
incredible.
Beyond incredible. And I look at what I do as a profession and I'm fortunate that my profession earns me a good living, right? When I'm told that there are nurses on the front line who are earning £22,000 a year, yeah. It made me think about what I do. It made me think about what they do. And I'm like, do you know what? When this is sorted out, the people who kept our economy going, and it's the postman, right? A postman came to deliver my mail this morning, the delivery drivers. But I think everyone's in the same boat. But the people who are at the front line in the hospitals, I take my hat off to them, and I think we have a debt to them forever. And I don't know how we ever go about repaying them, but I think people need to work out what we can do. They need to have free parking in their hospitals. They need to be respected as the most important professionals in our economy, bar none. And I think we need to recalibrate our thinking around the NHS and how we interact with them, how they get paid. I know they don't do it for big salaries because they'd be working elsewhere if that was the case. They do it because they genuinely care and they want to help people. But I don't know. Here's one for you, Duncan. You've got an amazing social reach network, a social media network. What about a GoFundMe page where we can try and raise money for people in the NHS so they get some form of decent bonus or some kind of time off or what? I don't know. But
I don't think we're necessarily considering the extraordinary number of people that it takes to run that machine. And I don't mean the
well, they're the largest side. They are the largest employer on earth.
And that's where, and sadly so, because you know, in a utopian manner, you're absolutely right. These people are saving the planet right now. Even, you know, whatever the result, they're doing it right now. But there are just so many, and it requires so many good people in order to execute that task that, you know, you're saying it, right? Would you take a pay cut, drop yourself down to the salary of a nurse in a sponsored swap over where you turn around and go, you're going to get what I get paid for a year and I'm going to get paid what you're going to get paid for a year? Because there's an argument that says somewhere up the higher ends of what people earn, if someone, everyone did that swap for 1 year, the world would change, right?
100%.
I mean, look, you can see how quickly the world can change, literally overnight. It's Yeah, look, I'm hearing what you're saying, Tom, and to be, if I'm perfectly honest, I'd thought about it, and I listened to that doctor's interview from a slightly different stance, and just hearing you and thinking about it, if I'm honest, on a kind of live broadcast, I'm thinking I probably also haven't given enough time and respect for the NHS. I think, look, there's, you know, what people are going to do afterwards, I believe wholeheartedly, right? I really do hope that things are different, that people just don't in 4 months' time, you know, go off to the summer, drop their kids at school, fuck off back to work and get pissed off on the trains and busy, and, you know, Heathrow expanding and more planes coming in and more and more. But I don't even know why I hope that. I just feel like there's a sense of calm that I've never experienced before. And on the humanity front of kind of these doctors and nurses doing what they're doing, I had a chat with some friends of mine, and we were interrupted in a restaurant talking about it. And we were saying that actually that this seems to have had an effect of transcending race and colour and boys and girls and your age. It's like we're all in one community, and we all want to help the elderly community, and we want to look after our neighbours, and if possible we want to help out, and as you're saying, raise some money, and we need to understand the benefits of the NHS and what we've got in this country. And but, you know, it's a learning curve. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot to take in. And one thing that I will say, having heard you and just thinking about it now, is that I feel very grateful. And I feel like we do owe a debt of gratitude at the absolute bare minimum to those that are getting up right now and getting on the train or the bus and treating people who are highly infected with a life-threatening disease that is threatening 150 countries around the world simultaneously right now. And I would like to also echo your thoughts and say thank you.
And then if I was to turn my attention to the media, that's probably where I go from, you know, heartfelt gratitude to what the NHS workers are doing to probably anger right now, I would say, towards the media. And disappointment.
Yeah. By the media.
For me, there was a frontline homepage news story that BBC were running last week, and it was constructed to grab attention, to be quite sensationalist, and for me it was the wrong message. Basically, that BBC had said there are now more cases than China had seen during its worst period globally. So for Joe Public and for people who probably don't stop and digest that and think about it, like the narrative out was things are worse than they were in China. Now, if there are 150 countries dealing with it, with this disease, and you aggregate that up, you are always going to have a bigger number of infections outside of China than when we saw it at its worst point. That's going to happen. I could have said that. I'm no disease expert. I'm no Chris Whitty, right? I haven't got his brain, but I could have said that. And that for me is the wrong headline. There's been too much, in my humble opinion, of news stories jumping on the fatalities. We don't hear enough about the people who are recovering. I just think that the communication coming out from them has been wrong. That's my opinion.
The media's fucked up anyway. Part of the reason why I want to do this is that I get to say whatever I want to whoever I want with whoever I want. And in a world where people are starting to tell me what to do, like where I can go and who I can see, and I don't want to be restricted to watching stuff that I feel is twisted for effect. And you know, I'm going to say to everyone again quickly, because I think we're going to try and wrap up now, nearly an hour in, and you can come back whenever you want, Tom, for an update, because to be honest, I find it therapeutic, and you know, it's nice to talk to my friends and to hear other people's experiences. And to be honest, you know, I'm usually out and about talking to people, and I want that to continue, and that's why I'm going to make sure that I speak to people every day. I can't even remember what I was going to say now. There's so much going on. I appreciate the time that you've given up and you being open and honest and live. I don't know if anybody's watched it, James. I don't know if you could tell me if anybody was ever online, but...
There are precisely two viewers.
Cool.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
If you comment, I can see it, unless it's both of you two.
One could be my mother.
Yeah, and the other one's probably my mother, although I haven't sent her the link. She's probably constantly scanning. Hi, Mum. Tom, thank you.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank James, because he needs some thanks as well.
Yeah, good work, James.
You're very
good
well.
Good work, James.
Nice to meet you.
Right, we'll see you on the other side.
Take care. Peace. Stay safe.
Okay.
Recording. We went live at lunchtime.